1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 4.
Today on the Covenant Eyes podcast, Luke will be interviewing Chris and Cindy Beal. Back in 2002, while working as a worship leader at a church, Chris confessed to committing adultery and to a deeply rooted pornography addiction. Today, Cindy will talk about how she came to forgive Chris for his infidelity. Chris will also give advice to husbands about how accountability can help to rebuild a wife's trust. Chris will talk about how using Covenant Eyes and other accountability measures strengthen their marriage. You won't want to miss today's interview on the Covenant Eyes podcast.
There's probably a lot of women, even right now listening to this, that are saying to themselves, if I was in Cindy's shoes, there's no way that I could forgive Chris. There's just no way. I mean, it's one thing to deal with a pornography problem. It's another thing to deal with adultery. What do you, if you could speak to those women now, what would you say about the forgiveness process that you went through and how that was for you?
I'm a pretty forgiving person, and so I don't typically hold grudges against people. So when someone says, hey, I'm really sorry, will you forgive me? I'm like, sure, I forgive them. Sometimes it's harder when the person doesn't ask for forgiveness and doesn't think they've done something wrong. So that sometimes can be harder. But overall, when someone asks for forgiveness and they truly are sorry and broken, and I usually forgive him. And so my husband was very broken. And even today, 7 years later, it's still very broken over what he did. And when I say broken, I mean not defensive. He's not walking around with his head down. He's not living in shame or humiliation. But he's still very aware that his actions cause things. And he doesn't get defensive, even if we still need to talk about things today, which we do, you know. I would say that that was a really big thing for me to be able to stay in the marriage. I don't know what I would have done if he would have been caught, or if he would have kind of been like, well, if you would have done this and this and this, I wouldn't have done this. I don't know how I would have responded, because it's like when you say, women say, well, I would never be able to go through that. Well, you don't know what you're going to go through, or what you can go through. My friend says, God will give you the grace you need when the circumstance happens. And that's exactly what happened. So I think that you can say, oh, I don't think I'll ever forgive that. Well, when you're put in a situation, you figure out what you can handle. And for me, I didn't know what I wanted to do in the first few weeks. I thought, I don't know if I can do this. Is it going to be easier for me to just cut my losses and just go and move on? Or should I stay and fight? And I just didn't know. And so finally, I prayed. I just said, Lord, I need to hear from you. I need a word. I need to know what to do and what to stand on, so that when the days and weeks ahead have come, that I'll know that I'm in your plan. And I remember there was some circumstances. I met with my mother's pastor, and he said, and I told him everything, and I basically told him everything so he would tell me what to do. I wanted someone to tell me what to do, and I just remember him saying, you know, it's understandable if you want to leave. I totally respect you if you do that. He said, but you're not a fool to stay and be a part of the redemptive work in a man's life. And I went also and visited another friend, and the Lord spoke to me in the church service, and he said, do you trust me? And I thought, oh, no, I don't want to answer that, because I do trust God. Even though my husband did these things to break my heart, I still trusted God. It wasn't God who made my husband commit adultery, you know. People blame God all the time for things. I'm like, it isn't God's fault. You know, we have a free will. We make choices. But I thought, do I trust you? And I thought, oh, this is a trick question, God, because if I say yes, I think you want me to stay. So I wasn't really sure. So finally, after wrestling for, I bet I wrestled 6 or 7 hours before I gave him an answer. And then the moment I said yes, this indescribable supernatural peace flooded me, and I was completely different. You hear people who say, I was lost, and then I got saved, and I was a new person immediately. That doesn't make sense to me, because I've known Christ all my life, pretty much. And so I can say, when I said, yes, I trust you, I was just flooded, overwhelmed. And the very next morning was the first morning in 3 weeks that I woke up with hope. And I went back home, and I decided to stay, and I don't regret that for a minute. And I know that was what God called me to do. And people can disagree with me, and they have, and they can think I'm crazy, and they do. But it's my decision. It was my risk to take, and I recognize that it was a risk. But I would also say that I have heard people over the years, when they hear about such a drastic or devastating confession like Chris's or other people, they would say, oh, I would never do that to my husband, or I would never do that to my wife. And I'm like, okay, be careful, because when we're put in certain circumstances and situations, we don't know what we're really capable of doing. I feel like we are all capable of falling. And so it was just something that, you know, just because I left one husband, and if I were to find another one, what's the chances he could have done the same thing? You know, I mean, we're all capable. So I really believe that it's coming to pass. God is showing himself in so many ways in our marriage. And so there's not a doubt in my mind that I heard him clearly. And so that's what I stand on. And that was my decision. I have another friend who didn't make the same decision, because what her husband did, she's actually remarried to another man, and she's blessed too, you know? So we have to hear what God's calling us to do individually. So I hope that answers that question. It's kind of long-winded. Sorry.
Absolutely. No, that's great. You've talked about this forgiveness, obviously forgiving him, but then learning to trust him again is a whole other matter.
Yeah.
If you were going to give advice to a man about how to build trust again, whether they've just been sneaking around watching pornography, or if they've been doing something else, how would you say that that man could start to build trust again for his wife? And then at the same thing, if you're going to give advice to a woman, how would you say, this is how you let him build trust? This is how you help to build that trust up in your own heart for him.
Right. Well, the first thing I would say is, to the woman is, you know, if he's apologized, and if you've forgiven him, or told him you've forgiven him, or you're working on forgiving him, choosing to forgive him, because you don't always feel like forgiving, but man, don't throw it back in his face. Don't throw anybody's sin back in their face, especially if you're in a heated argument. That will send you 10 steps backwards. And so I made a commitment to God that I wouldn't do that. Doesn't mean we don't talk about it, and I don't say, hey, can I talk to you about this? I'm really hurting today. That doesn't mean you can't talk about it. It just means when you're discussing it and say, well, if you wouldn't have done this, I would, you know, that's what I'm talking about. So the woman has to be very specific about how she responds. And some women will say, well, he hurt me so bad, he deserves to get back at him. And I'm thinking, well, my response to that would be, just because someone else sinned doesn't give you permission to sin. And that is where I had to stay true to what God was calling me to do, which, even though, yes, my husband had done these things, I was still a child of God who still had to follow God and obey him, period. And as far as the man, the biggest thing, I think the woman's ability to trust is probably 95% based upon what her husband does. It's really hard to build trust back with a man who's maybe wanting his wife to just get over it, doesn't want to talk about it, maybe still keeps doing things like going out with his buddies to a bar, or, you know, whatever it is that sent him into a bad place, you know. Man, the bottom line is, I'm married to the most amazing man, because 7 years later, he does everything in his power to build my trust. He won't even leave from one location to another without calling me. Mm. When he had to work late on a project at church, and he was at one of the campuses, and he called me at like 9 o'clock. He's like, "Hey, I just want to let you talk to John here for a minute." John is a guy I worked with, and put John on the phone. "Hey, Cindy, I just want you to know, Christian, we've been working all night, and we're trying to get him out of here so he can come home to you." And it wasn't something that was spoken, but everybody knows that if Chris Beale gives you the phone to talk to his wife, he's asking you to verify his whereabouts. Mm. This isn't the first time he's done that. And so that right there just makes me feel like I am the most important person in the world. And I am more important to my husband than ministry. And that really just brings about more. I trust him more. And the biggest thing for me is when he's walking in the Spirit, when God is just flooding him and I know that he is listening to him, I trust the Spirit inside of my husband. That's I trust, but my ultimate trust is in God. And so, because you know, men and women are going to fail us. We're gonna fail each other. But I really believe that he has worked tremendously hard over the last 7 years to build my trust. And we're still building it every day. We build it every day. Mm. Honey, I know you can talk on this too.
Wow, I just found myself getting pretty emotional listening to you. I will say that not one time in the last 7 years has my wife ever used my mistakes as ammunition to hurt me. And I don't even know if that's even realistic, to be honest. But it does speak to the character of my wife. And I don't know that I am yet trustworthy. Honestly, I don't know that any of us are. Hmm. I don't think it's realistic for Cindy to trust me, but what she says is she trusts me when I'm walking in the Spirit, when I'm close to God. Outside of that, I am not trustworthy. I am just as capable today of, under the right circumstances, making the same stupid mistakes that I made all those years ago. We all are. I think for the guys, one thing I'd like to say is that if you are considering outing yourself, confessing something, or if you've just gotten caught or whatever the circumstance might be for you, you have to know that rebuilding trust is a lifelong process. It is not 1 year. It is not 2 years. It is not 5 years. It is the rest of your life. It is part of the consequences of our choices. And I believe it is our job as spiritual protectors in our home to eliminate any opportunity where the enemy can mess with our wives. It's at home wondering what we're doing, what we're looking at. So the accountability in my life is ridiculous. I've been a Covenant Eyes user forever. And
I get the reports. So.
She gets the reports. My boss gets the reports. You know, computers are monitored. I'm never in an environment. I don't travel alone, and I travel a lot. So the church pays for, you know, my accountability partner to travel with me just to have somebody there. Like she said, I don't go from one place to another without calling her. And I don't get defensive because we wouldn't be in that trust predicament had I not made the choices that I made. And so I willingly accept the reality of our lives as a part of the process to have what I really don't deserve, which is an incredible wife and my kids and God's giving us the opportunity to steward our story by helping other people. It is a burden I gladly carry because of what God's given us that I absolutely do not deserve.
This has been part 3 of our interview with Chris and Cindy Beale. Stay tuned for part 4, when Chris will talk about the value of accountability relationships for everybody in the church. Read more about their story in Cindy's free ebook at cindybeale.com. That's CINDYBEALL.com. You've been listening to the Covenant Eyes Podcast with your host, Luke Gilkerson. To hear more podcasts, visit CovenantEyes.com/blog.